Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit tonight on how to do with nothing do, and I wanted to explain a little bit what that meant. It really means how to do a complete action with nothing do. And it also has to do with how to have your actions in this world without anything do karmically. So we're talking about clear action. And I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about some of my experiences the past week or so talking to some students and pointing out some of the teachings and how to work the teachings better, what the teachings are. And I'm going to use my experience with talking to the students as an example of some things. So this isn't to pick on the students, but it's to help illustrate how to do without having anything do. And last week I had a conversation with a student, and it was very interesting to me because in the course of a minute or so, I saw very clearly that this person really didn't have basically a clue as to what the teachings were, the nature of the teachings, etc. Just didn't have even the basics down. I mean, no pun intended, but there was nothing there. There was no understanding. And I sort of questioned myself and said, well, maybe, you know, I've been accused of being like a stern taskmaster and a tough schoolmaster, and maybe I'm being too tough. You know, and I just sort of evaluated it objectively, and I realized, well, actually, just the opposite was true, that if this person were in school, you know, 7th or 8th grade, I'm not sure the person would have been able to have completed the class. Most likely, the person would have been asked to leave because there was no basis to build anything on. I thought, well, this is neat that this happens because that just shows how much responsibility there is. And how much we have to take. We have to take responsibility to learn and to apply. Because I ask myself, well, this person really isn't, you know, unintelligent. On the contrary, it's quite an intelligent person. You know? And why has it been worked like this? And also, what's being constructed? Because I noticed that as the teacher of this path, I can only offer a way of surrender, because this path is about surrender. Surrender, letting go, trust, loving God, and surrendering to His will. And I noticed that this person kept asserting her own will, constant assertion. And I thought, well, this is interesting. What's all that about? And is there some connection between the assertion of the will and not having a clue about the teachings? And so I took a look, and yeah, it was right there. It all had to do with fear. And the teachings teach us that along the negative polarity, you're going to encounter three main thrusts. Fear, lack, and desperation. And when you come from the negative, when you choose anything other than God, that's what's going to propel you. And this person was allowing herself to be guided by fear. And the fear of letting go and being one with God, being one with the Spirit and choosing God. And the false self would reassert itself, you see? And it's interesting because the teachings teach us all about mankind and how we got here, how karma is constructed, etc. And it's right there for us. And the teachings teach us not only how it all happened, but in the description, you get to see the remedy. You get to see how to live. And it's right there. It's right there in the beginning. Matter of fact, it's in the Blue Book, the first book that a student encounters, and I thought I'd read it because it was fascinating to me. And I quote a poem from Rumi, who was he was called a saint, but it's a saint not in the sense of the Catholic Church, but it's a saint in the sense of a master of the sound current. Some of you may be familiar with Rumi, the Persian poet. Quite a bit of his stuff is around, and some has even been set to music, etc. And I put in the blue book exactly what many of us do and how karma gets constructed. We assert our will against God's will. And so we have the path of soul transcendence, and it teaches us surrender, to let go. And this person, out of fear, kept reasserting herself, you know, and that's her right, but take the easy way, you know. If you don't have to go through Kansas for your learning, hey, then you don't have to go through Kansas. But if you insist upon it, you'll get your learning by going through Kansas. But why not take the easy way? Because the learning that you could get by going through Kansas can be brought to you in other ways. So you're not going to miss out on the learning. You're going to get your learning. You just don't have to go through Kansas to get it. Okay, and I'm not picking on Kansas, but... Okay, and the poem is real simple. It says, egotism and self-will are opposed to the holy name. The holy name is just another word for the Holy Spirit or the sound current. Egotism and self-will are opposed to the holy name. The two cannot dwell in the same house. None can serve the Lord without humility. The self-willed mind is worthless. And it totally is worthless. See, and in reality, there's no such thing as the self-willed mind, because the mind is, in the development of a soul, the mind is the servant of the spirit, of the soul, and so it is filled with the spirit or overshadowed. See, Jesus became the Christ by allowing the overshadowing. So the mind of the Christ, or the God consciousness, the mind of God, appeared, took over Jesus' mind. So you have to empty, and you're filled with the Spirit. Okay, but in the false self, we think that the mind is in charge, and so the mind wills and propels itself, but it really only can be propelled by its own creations, by its own karma. See? And so we are always asserting ourselves, and it's always connected with ego. Okay, now, the teachings are not Buddhist, so we don't talk about getting rid of the ego, because that's an ego test too. And also, we need the ego. I need the ego to sit here and talk and communicate and put all this stuff together. And I'm doing it through parts of me that are ego identified. Okay, but we're talking about egotism and the assertion of yourself against God's will. And the teacher comes along and he gives you an opportunity to drop it. And you can take it or not, but you have that opportunity. You see? So one way of doing something without having anything do is to allow yourself the surrender process and to choose God and to let go of what you're asserting. In other words, constantly trying to make something happen doesn't work. If you're coming from fear, oh my God, it's not going to happen, oh my God, etc., etc., then you're going to get into manipulation and trying to do and work the results a certain way. And that all reinforces the fear. See? So you want to stay clear, and you could stay clear by just recognizing it and letting it go. Or let the motor be God. Or line up your intent with God's intent. Okay, let me give you a simple example. Let's just say I were to ask you, hey, look, this is happening. I'd like you to participate. And, let's say you have a child, you need a babysitter. And you say, okay, if I get a babysitter. And right away, you have conditioned your participation. Okay, let me suggest a better way of working that. If you honestly intend to participate, you line up with the intent of, yes, I am going to participate in that. That's my choice. Okay, and then ask God to bring forward the babysitter. That's very different from conditioning your participation in the event. And many of us do that. We condition our own participation with the spirit inside of us. Okay, I'll do this if I get around to it, or if this and this happens, or if I feel better, or when I feel better, etc. So we're never present. We're always out of the present. And when you're out of the present, you're not with God, because God's in the present. If you're not with God, then guess what? You've got something due. You've got karma due, because you're choosing to live in karma. See, now the nice thing about the teachings is we don't focus on karma. Oh my God, you're going to create karma. Be afraid of creating karma. Any of that stuff. No, we just tell you how to live in the light of the Most High, or how to live in God. We give you a prescription for God's way. How to live the way of God. And if you choose God, you don't have to be involved with anything else. See? You don't have to worry about the karma, or creating karma, or any of that stuff, or is anything due. No. All you have to do is be concerned with your focus. See? And then eventually you give up the concern about your focus and you just are there. And when you're not there and you note that, you're wise enough to ask to be moved to where God is in you. See? And, you know, in talking to another student, the person said something I thought was really fascinating. The person said, you know, I really listened to a lot of tapes, and it was wonderful, and I really worked really hard to get back to my center, you know? Because, you know, I don't know, it's like I really got, I don't know, I just, something just really bugged me that really things weren't happening like I thought they should be. I thought, well, this is interesting. See? Because it was working it backwards and creating a chore. Okay, let me get back to the starting point, so to speak. And I'm going to keep on working to get back to the starting point, get back to the starting point, get back to the starting point. Instead of changing the starting point. If you recognize the starting point is off, in other words, hey, things ain't in the world like I think they should be, or I'm not getting the results I think I should get. Well, maybe you need to let go of your expectations. See, and the teachings teach us to be clear, not to be involved in an action of result orientation. That's, we use the word Nintendo because that's what it means, you know, work your buns off and leave the results to God. Leave the results to God. See, and if you're present with each moment, then you're not going to be into the manipulation of getting the result or laying an expectation, well, the world should respond this way or that way, and I'm annoyed that it didn't, and I'm out of kilter. So let me use the teachings to get back. Well, I'm glad you're using the teachings, and I'm glad tapes were listened to. But what struck me about what this person was saying was that with the recognition of where the person was off, the person didn't do anything to change where he was off. In other words, the expectation about how the world should respond wasn't altered at all. But the effort of trying to get back to the center, to the center, to the center, that was always kept going. See, and sometimes there is something in us where we think we're doing the teachings and we're really not. You see? So when you do something and you want to do it clearly, you want to always take a look at what's the starting point, and am I into expectation? And am I into fear? And am I into doubt? And am I into trying to manipulate the result? And am I into being hurt? For example, that things aren't working my way. What are the expectations I have? No, because that's where we get caught. We have an expectation or an appointment. And then an appointment will always breed a disappointment. See? And also, if you're on a spiritual path and you're lifting and you're clearing and you're growing, then all those expectations, guess what? They come back to the Creator. You're the Creator of them. They snap back to you. They snap back to you. You're the creator of those expectations. And they have to be handled because you can't lift beyond them. You know, you can't travel in the inner worlds, go home to God, and have attachments. It doesn't work. Because those are the attachments, those are the karmas that are created by you, that stand between you and God. That's the separation. That's the separation. And it's your creation, and we're responsible for our creations. No one gets away with it, I guarantee you. I remember praying to God to give me a break on some of my creations that God created, I don't know, God knows when, you know? Probably before there was time. I created them, and it was, well, you created them, you're responsible. Cut me no slack, man, you know? And I got to see, guess what? I'm responsible for my creation, and I'm the one that creates the separation. Nobody did it. Some religion didn't do it. Clergymen didn't do it. My mother didn't do it. My father didn't do it. No one did it. I did it. Okay, but that's the good news, because just as I can create that stuff, guess what? I can create positively and create with God. And how do you do it? You choose. You choose to be present. See, so much of it has to do with intent. And let me give you another example. It wasn't so much in a conversation with someone as what happened with another student. A student was asked to be at a certain place by a certain time and do X, Y, and Z before. And the student shows up at that time or a few minutes after that time and then asks, well, can I go and do X, Y, and Z? Well, why did that situation come about? Because that student allowed herself to do things that she knew were not lined up with the goal of being here on time, wherever the here was, at this event, and doing X, Y, and Z before. And so then did this, and did this, and then did this. And everything got rationalized. Oh, it's okay if I do that. It's okay if I do this. It's okay if I do that. And the intent, the lining up with the intent, you see, this is crucial, was lost. The intent, okay, the intent is to be here at that time, and I will have done X, Y, and Z before that, that I needed to do. And that whole intent was lost. And we have a tendency to make things okay, to rationalize things. We're great at rationalizing anything, any excuse. and we make it okay. And we need to stay really focused on the intent. So, okay, yeah, I'll get around to dropping my hurt, my anger, my pain in like 20 minutes. But right now, you know, I'm just gonna stay with it. 20 minutes later, you know, tip too tired. I don't want to bother. I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to ask God to clear. I'm not going to let myself be clear. It takes too much energy. I don't want to do that. Okay? An hour goes by, and things keep creeping in, the negativity. We allow the negativity to creep in, creep in, creep in, and before we know it, we got a big ball of thread rolled up that weighs several tons. See, the consciousness is really funny. We'll make this okay, and this okay, and this okay, and this okay, and we think it's okay. And we'll keep explaining to ourselves that, yeah, it's all okay. And then before you know it, guess what? You've created all this separation, and all this hurt, all this pain, all this karma. You created all this stuff. You created all that stuff. And guess what? You've been had. But what had you was real simple. You gave yourself over to the negative pole. That's in you. Because we have choice. God gave us free will. We have total choice. So guess what? You have that experience. Okay, all the stuff I created along the negative pole. Oh, okay, God, so bad. All right. Well, I won't do that again. 20 minutes later, oh, I'll start rationalizing this again and that. And then before you know it, we get another big ball of thread we've created. And we're real good at this. So a way to do without having anything do is to be totally committed to the intention and lined up. And another thing also is watch the feedback mechanism that you choose. In other words, you may be expecting feedback or positive validation from people, from a situation, and it may not be there for you. And what you'll do is you'll discard your own intention, your own alignment process. You'll just discard it. Oh, it can't be right. It's got to be a little off. Otherwise, it would have been recognized. Other people would have supported it. Not true. Not true. Not true. You know, it's interesting, but it's not a numbers game. It's not about, well, 99 out of 100 people will do this, or will work things this way, or they'll support me in being lined up this way. Not so. I remember doing a lot of workshops. I mean, I was going to say down south, but to me it's I don't know, it's like 700 miles away from from New York City, barely the south, you know. These people don't even have southern accents. And it was right there in front of me to look at. Do workshops, do trainings, and tell people, hey, you're powerful, and you are the creator of your life. Oh, yeah? What are you, more than God? You think you're more than God? We're pieces of turd. And God's up there and we're nothing. And you want me to be empowered? And what do you mean the spirit's in me? Spirit's not in me, it's in God. And in a funny way, that kind of mirrors what's in everyone's consciousness. We all have to go through that. We all think that God's got the power and we don't. But guess what? The teachings teach us that, and this is crucial, that mankind and God are one and the same. We're His creation. We're His kids. We're created out of the sound current. That's the material. That's what God is. We're created in His image. Not that we look like Him, but we're created in His image. We're created in the sound current and by the sound current, and God is the sound. And it's in us. See? And it's all about responsibility, because it's nice to think, hey, God's got the Spirit and we don't. But that's a lovely way of not being responsible. You know, I listened to some priest go on in adoration of Mary. He was part of the Marian movement. And I thought, wow, he's really devoted. But now he'll have a lifetime where he takes that devotion and then couples it with power. You see? The power of knowing that the Spirit is inside of him, and guess what? And he's responsible. So it's not projected out there, but it's within him. And that has to do with taking responsibility. And when you do things without anything due, you are responsible, and you're in that awareness, and what you're doing is you're responding to the Spirit in you. That's responsible. Or responsibility, the ability to respond to the Spirit that you are. You know? There's a line from a song that says, it's in every one of us to be free. Yeah, we are free. We're created free. And we imprison ourselves. We enslave ourselves. And how to do with nothing do takes us from slavery to freedom. And it's choosing freedom, not enslavement. The freedom of knowing we're responsible, the freedom of being totally present with God, and exercising choice and allowing our will to be lined up with God's will and surrendering all that, just like the student constantly kept asserting herself. And that's fine. She gets the right to travel through Kansas. No problem with that. But why not take the way of grace? Because eventually what's going to happen, this is a surrender path, and we all surrender and empty ourselves before God. And so what the consciousness will construct will be that that person will be backed up against the corner so severely that the consciousness will have no choice other than to surrender. Because if we persist in our own way, Spirit has a lovely way of saying, hey, not my will, but God's will. That's what it says to us inside of us, and we have to learn that. You see, and the Christ Jesus on the cross was that attunement process, the lining up, the surrendering. Surrendered the ego, time and space, crucified in time and space, gave up his will, the individual will, and lined up with God's will. And God's will, guess what happens? You get resurrected. And that means simply that you're in the spirit body or the soul body. And this is a live, living, spiritual reality. So let me just kind of wrap up here. And then I'll kind of reduce it to just one sentence. You want to be lined up with intent. You want to be lined up with responding. You want to be lined up with being immediately present, letting go of manipulating the results or counting people and numbers of people who support you in your action. You want to take a look at your feedback systems. You want to make sure that you may have to stand alone with some things, but you stand alone with God. There may be an element of that. You want to see if you're coming from fear. Where are you coming from? Are you coming from being afraid? Are you coming from lack? Are you coming from desperation? See? Because the source of all abundance is God, and God is abundance. Inside yourself, we're abundant. We have the Spirit. We have all. God makes available to us all of heaven. Think about it. All of heaven. And we give ourselves so little. So each thing that we do is a nice opportunity to lift and give ourselves heaven. Being present with God. And before I give you, well, I kind of sort of gave it away, but before I give you that sort of one sentence wrapping up, I want to do a little process with you. So get nice and quiet, and we'll call in the light by saying, Lord God, send us your light. And just pick something that you're doing. Okay, and without really thinking about it, just allow all the, whatever you want to call it, all the vibes with it, everything connected with it, to come forward. Okay, now just allow, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is receive. Just allow yourself to choose to be present with God inside yourself, to let go of pain, doubt, fear, etc., to surrender all the negative stuff. There you go. Okay, what happens when you do that? Anyone want to share?
It's easy.
Okay. Any?
Well, there's a feeling of a letting go and acceptance.
Okay, letting go and acceptance.
Which is the discomfort leaves you. It's just acceptance.
Ah.
It's kind of neutral.
Ah, okay. Discomfort leaves and neutrality.
It's not a big
is,
deal either.
That's right. Neutrality comes in. Okay. Someone else? Anyone else from out in the peanut gallery? In telephone land?
The mind is quiet.
Yeah, the mind is quiet. Good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So when we bring in spirit, then we really surrender the self-willing mind, as it were, and its products. Okay? And its creations. All right. Anything from telephone land? No? Yeah, the worry seems to disappear. Neat. Okay. All right. So let me just give you a one-sentence wrap-up of how to do without anything do. Choose to be entirely present with God. Okay. Now, this process here, you're welcome to use any and all times, and it works. And you can be present, move into being present, be present, be present. And that's how you do. And when we do things in God's name, and by that I mean by chanting the sacred names of God, we do that, we stay clear within ourselves. Then the action is clear. If we live in God and commit to that and are present and in that neutral space, it's clear. See, and the thing that struck me is how uncomfortable all that other stuff is. And yet many of us live in that uncomfortability. So make yourself nice and comfortable. Hang out with God inside. Each and every moment, choosing that, choosing that, choosing that. See? And it's those moments that build. And we strengthen the spirit in us and strengthen that choice. See? Every soul is going to have to undergo the surrender process, have the alignment process with God's will, be lined up, know God directly. Every soul has to go through that. That's the process. That's why this planet is here, so that souls can learn that, learn it here, and then go home to God. So that's the macrocosm and the whole big picture, so to speak. And you can replicate that in your own life. And you'll have the lining up of the microcosm and the macrocosm, because guess what? The teachings teach us that man and God are the same. And it's as simple as that. Okay, well, we'll stop with that.